and welcome to the World Soccer Talk podcast, your weekly dose of talking about watching soccer on TV, online, and apps. Coming up on episode 67, we discuss a range of issues and topics, including the latest Champions League games, also news about ESPN Plus, Bleacher Report Live, bringing you the Champions League next season, and much, much more. Plus, we have letters from you, the listeners, in our mailbag section. My name is Christopher Harris, a.k.a. The Gaffer, and I'm joined today by Kartik Krishnaya. Kartik, how are you?
I'm doing quite well, thanks, Chris. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, and listeners, I have to apologize for some technical difficulties last week for the episode not being released. It happens every once in a blue moon. And Kartik, speaking of blue moon, let's go backwards in time from what we've been watching from this past week, and let's kick off with the Liverpool Manchester City game in the Champions League. First of all, I know we've talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Did you get a chance to watch this because it was on FS2, not FS1?
Yeah, so we have an issue in my office where we don't have FS2. So finally, one of our Liverpool fans in the office had rigged a computer or done the AV cord and gotten FS2 on the big screen. But many of us still went out to a local pub in downtown Miami, or the Brickell area of Miami, which is kind of an extension of downtown. Including Paul Dalglish, who, of course, is the son of Kenny Dalglish and brother of Kelly Cates. So that was really neat to watch a Liverpool match with Paul Dalglish, among other kind of celebrities and journalists. It was kind of a star-studded crowd there. Got to watch the match sitting and getting some analysis from Paul Dalglish, which was just neat. By the way, he is the manager of Miami FC now, for those who don't know, in the U.S. lower divisions. But was a whitewash of a match. I had my concerns coming in from the City perspective, because Klopp's teams have tended to play better against Guardiola's teams, going back to Dortmund versus Bayern, than any other manager's team, because of the high pressing and the ability to create quick turnovers when Guardiola's teams are playing out of the back. Quick changes of possession, 3-4 pass sequences that lead to goals, or at least shots on target. And there's also the issue of Anfield for Manchester City. This has not been talked about enough. I know I raise it every time, every season, when City goes to Anfield. Manchester City's last victory at Anfield was in 2003, when Nicolas Anelka scored, who had played for Liverpool the previous season, scored 2 goals in stoppage time. Manchester City has not won at Anfield since then, with that was with Kevin Keegan, obviously former Liverpool great, as the Manchester City manager. Chris, think about this. Manchester City has won at Old Trafford 6 times. Supposedly, Manchester United is on a higher plateau than Liverpool. At least we're led to believe that from most around the game. Manchester City has won at Old Trafford, I repeat, 6 times since the last win at Anfield. Manchester City has won at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea wins the title, it seems, every other season in England. Manchester City has won at Stamford Bridge 4 times since winning at Anfield. It's a house of horrors already, and score lines like 3-0 are actually somewhat familiar. The City went to Liverpool and got smashed 3-0 at Anfield 5 days before going to Wembley and beating Manchester United under Roberto Mancini in the FA Cup semifinal. So it's become a bogey team in addition to being European royalty. So you're talking about the toughest place to play in Europe, potentially on a European night, against a team whose manager has the best record against your manager of any manager on the planet. And you've got this bogey aspect. If you factor that all in, you really shouldn't be surprised by the result. But it was still a little bit shocking, because Manchester City showed none of the incisive passing or quality on the ball and patience on the ball, importantly, that we've seen from them throughout the season.
Martin Tyler summed this up perfectly. I think after the third goal, he said, during the commentary for this match, he said, "We expected something extraordinary, but nothing like this." And I guess for the kind of the neutral, like someone like myself, now Kartik, you're probably going into this match thinking, okay, actually Manchester City is going to face a tough test, and you probably wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool would win this match.
Correct.
As a neutral myself, I was kind of thinking in terms of league form, how these teams are, how Liverpool have been weak defensively, letting up goals. So I was surprised. I was surprised by how Man City came out in this match, and I was surprised how well Liverpool came out. But the one thing, though, Kartik, is that everyone was talking about this game pre-match with the whole bus incident, even pre-game on Fox FS1 or FS2 on the pre-game coverage, talking about everything, the build-up to this game. And yet, it's on FS2, not FS1. You were lucky enough to be able to watch it in a nearby pub, to watch it there. And I'm sure a lot of people that were there probably were probably fans that like to enjoy a game in a pub atmosphere. But many of them probably weren't able to get FS2 also. So that's the thing, though, Kartik. I mean, from the Barcelona-Roma game, I had that on to at home. I had it on Fubo. So I had one monitor at FS1 and the other one FS2. And the Barcelona game went pretty much according to script. Actually, a couple of own goals. So Barcelona goes on to win it 3-0 pretty comfortably. I wasn't expecting anything different. I will be extremely interested to see what these TV numbers are next week for these games, because FS2 has such a small viewership, number of subscribers. FS1 obviously is pretty large, but I'll be curious to see how close it was in terms of the final viewing numbers. Then again, if it's a big gulf between the two and there's not that many watching FS2 for Liverpool Man City, I wonder how many of those people went ahead and went to a bar or watched it illegally. That's unfortunately, I still don't get what Fox's, why they did it this way. Other than to try to boost FS2 numbers, but everyone knows that FS2 is kind of a wasteland of TV viewing for the most part. Now, Kartik, I have to ask you, though, too. So I know I looked on Twitter and I saw your opinion about this weekend's Man United game against Man City, and you're thinking in terms of for Pep to go ahead and play the youngsters. I mean, the big game really is next week for Manchester City. The Champions League is the one crown that they need to get, so they need to focus all efforts on the second leg. And I could easily see Man City coming back and actually scoring some goals at home and making this a really nervy affair next week. But what do you think Pep's going to do in this Manchester derby this weekend, where Manchester City could win the title?
Yeah, there's a lot of external pressure, right? Because you can wrap up a trophy and you're playing Manchester United, who, as I said earlier, Manchester City regularly beats. They don't regularly beat Liverpool. They don't even regularly beat Liverpool at home, actually, in this era. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Just one more stat to throw out here. Manchester City has finished ahead of Liverpool. This will be the 9th successive season Manchester City would have finished ahead of Liverpool in the Premier League. Yet, during that period, I believe Manchester City has a far worse record against Liverpool, home and away, than they do against United, Chelsea, maybe not Arsenal. Arsenal's been a tough one also until this season. But you're regularly beating Manchester United anyway. So, and you know Mourinho is probably not going to be adventurous with his team selection. He's probably not going to play an aggressive style of football. Now, maybe you make a couple of changes to the team, freshen up the squad with some younger players, particularly a guy like Phil Foden, who I think would be amazing for him to play in a Manchester derby, being from Stockport. He's being called the Stockport Xavi or the Stockport Iniesta. I think it's the Stockport Iniesta because he plays kind of, you know, a little bit on an wider position, wider attacking position. So that's what I would do, and give the guys who look like they have a lot of tread on their tires some rest, particularly maybe David Silva, as much as he'd want to play in the derby. If Aguero's not fit, Jesus is going to have to give you possibly 120 minutes on Tuesday. So yeah, maybe you sit him and you play without a pure number nine. As far as Raheem Sterling is concerned, I think you need to get his confidence back up because he's going to play an important part. I know there were psychological reasons you don't want to play him at Anfield. We've seen how that's blown up in the past for him. And I think I would change a lot of the team with an eye on Tuesday. I know he's probably not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I do think he will be more strategic in his tactics. He won't admit it, but there will be some squad rotation.
Okay. Yeah, I was talking to a City fan last night when we were discussing this, and at first I thought, okay, I mean, play the youngsters this weekend, and then for the Champions League second leg next week, then go in strong. And the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? If I was a manager, just go for hell for leather this weekend against United, win the title, and just with that confidence and with that feel good factor, go into that second leg and just, I mean, go gangbusters, just trying to do whatever you can. And it's the two biggest games of the season. If they go through, win Saturday, I mean, that will always be remembered in history. Winning the title against United and then a comeback against Liverpool and advance into the semi-finals, that would be huge. And then after that point, you can put the brakes on a little bit and then start playing the youngsters a little bit and just try to recover. It'll be fascinating. And that's the thing too, Kartik. At the end of the day, this is the game that everyone was talking about, and I still can't believe that Fox did this and had it on FS2, which is ridiculous. We don't know yet which games next week will be on FS1 and FS2. Both Barcelona, Roma, and Liverpool, Man City are going to be on the same day. And you would think that Liverpool, Man City would be on FS1 for the replay, for the second leg. But with Fox, you never know.
Yeah, another question here about Fox. It seemed like they were pulling back from that mistake, if you want to call it that, right away, where you had Rob Stone and Alexi Lalas giving voiceovers leading into the game, into the match, and then right away at full time. Now, obviously, they had a full halftime studio show for Barcelona-Roma, which they did not have for Liverpool-Manchester City, but normally you don't hear their voices at all on an FS2 broadcast. So I think there was already kind of a concession by Fox that, okay, this was not a bad situation, but how would I put it? This is a complicated situation. We're going to need to have our marquee voices somehow heard on this telecast.
Yeah, the thing with that is, and again, I was watching it on Fubo, and sometimes there's a little bit of a delay on Fubo, but I had it side by side, and it looked like the Man City-Liverpool match actually started off about 30 seconds later than the actual the other match, the Barcelona-Roma game, which we know because of UEFA, all the games kick off at exactly the same time. So Fox may have actually delayed showing the game by 30 seconds. Just to give Rob Stone and Alexi that opportunity to do the lead-in. And then it's kind of, you mean, to most viewers, they're just watching one either channel. They're not watching it both at the same time. They may not have noticed that. The other thing, too, is also having Martin Tyler and Clive Allen as commentators instead of, I don't know, Keith Costigan and Warren Barton, which Fox would have done probably in the past, too. So they went with the world feed, probably thinking, rather than get any more abuse than they've already gotten, this at least put some good commentators on there. Well, not good commentators, but this put the English commentators on.
And they had sent Keith Costigan to Anfield, so...
Well, no, they didn't. He posted a picture on Twitter looking like he was at Anfield, just a picture of the corner flag, I think it was. But somebody said, like, are you at Anfield? And he said, no, I'm not. So,
I got confused by that.
Yeah, me too. But it did look like he was there, but he wasn't trying to trick anyone. And he just had posted a picture of Anfield and the corner flag. So the other thing interesting about this one, Kartik, is Clive Allen. I thought Clive did a fantastic job co-commentating, not just this game, but also the Palace-Liverpool game on Saturday. The Palace-Liverpool game... the co-commentary by Clive Allen was fantastic. A lot of the times there were some key refereeing decisions in that game, and Clive Allen was really quick to give praise to the referees, but also his analysis of the game was spot on. And so it was great to hear him too for the Liverpool-Man City game. All right, Kartik, did you catch any of the CONCACAF Champions League matches this week?
I did not.
Neither did I. So it's been a crazy week. Obviously, I know what the scores were, but I did not get a chance to watch the broadcast. Congratulations to Toronto FC for making it through to the final, as well as Chivas. So no New York Red Bulls there, unfortunately. Did you get a chance to watch any of the Tuesday's Champions League matches?
Yeah, so we put Juve Real Madrid on in the office, and we have visiting Italian employees, so there was some curiosity in that match, and it was just I underestimated Real Madrid this entire Champions League because I have the mistake you made with Liverpool. I have looked at Real Madrid's domestic form and said, okay, and the quite frankly, the struggles against Spurs in the group stage, the combination of that and their poor domestic form until recently, and said there's no way they're going to get by a PSG. Okay, they smashed PSG, but then I think to myself, PSG has no European pedigree. They're now coming up against Juve, who's going to want to beat them, especially after the final in Cardiff last season. Nope. This match was one way. It was brilliance from Ronaldo, but one thing I really enjoyed was that Stu Holden was calling the match for FS1, and he made a point about Karim Benzema on that first goal by Ronaldo that a lot of co-commentators don't make, which is how Benzema was drawing the defense to him. Obviously, Juve plays with a three-man back line, but he was attracting two of those central defenders, clearing space for Ronaldo centrally. Mm-hmm. To score that first goal, and then we know what happened after that. So I thought that was an astute point by Holden. We don't often give him a lot of credit for his analysis, but that was a good point.
He does a really good job. I mean, obviously, he's calling the game off the monitor, like off the tube, so he's seeing the same video that we're seeing. Maybe he has some other camera angles available to him, as we do too, through the Fox Sports Go app. But he often does a great job of positionally just talking about tactically how players may have changed positions or moved a little bit deeper or a little bit higher up the pitch, which is hard to do when you're calling the game live off the monitor rather than being at a stadium. At the stadium, I'm sure it'd be a lot easier. I think, yeah, he's doing a great job. I think he's come a long way, and he still reminds me a lot of Taylor Twellman, and that's meant to be a compliment. I mean, yeah. that he is that good. I think Taylor's still better, but Stu Holden's doing fantastic. And I have no problems with John Strong. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like having kind of the Fox commentators, but I think the two of them together are really strong, and I hope that they do the World Cup final together because they deserve it. I mean, Landon Donovan would be nice to have in there too, but I think you've got that good chemistry. Don't mess it up.
I'm not sure about that anymore because I agree with you. I think Holden's come a long way, and he's aspiring to be a Taylor Twellman. That's great. That's a lofty goal, and he's getting there. And Strong, I like. So I'm not sure I would mess with the chemistry of those two. Now that we've heard them call a number of European matches, and as I said, Holden made the point I would have made, and was making those regularly throughout this match. Actually, I've just highlighted that one because it was so significant. I don't know that I would put a third person in that booth with those two. They seem to have really developed. It's just like throwing a player that was injured into a team for a big match. You're not sure even if that on paper that improves you if you want to do that. And if I'm Fox, I stick with these two as my number one team.
Yeah, and with this one, with it being 3-0 up for Real Madrid, I switched over to Facebook Live to watch the last 20 minutes of the game between Sevilla and Bayern Munich. And this one, there was about 36,000 people watching, which is a good number, actually. And it's interesting, too, that as I was watching it, the Facebook stream crashed for everyone. So we had to reload the page, which is not a good look for Facebook. So the number of viewers went down to, I think, I don't know, a few thousand, but then slowly went back up to about 32,000 viewers. So good numbers there. And Mark Rogondino and Mario Melchiot were commentating this match. One tip for anyone that's watching any games on Facebook is if you are like me and you hate those the likes and the hearts flashing across the screen as you're trying to watch a game, which is really annoying, there is a maximize button lower right where you can actually maximize the Facebook live stream so it's full picture. And then that gets rid of all of the annoying chat and also the annoying stream of characters floating across the screen. We'll have to wait and see if they'll do that too for the next round. And my guess is they will, because Facebook is paying Fox to broadcast those games on Facebook Live. Kartik, from this past weekend, let's talk about some of the other games you watched. Anything jumped out at you?
Yeah, I actually didn't watch any football over the weekend. I did on Friday, which was a bank holiday in the UK, and there were a number of championship matches. I had a Himmershim AGM, our local supporter-run club, had a friendly for Boca Raton FC and a friendly for FC Miami City, which is the PSG Academy in Miami that I attended. So didn't see any weekend, and then just other assorted things were going on that I didn't watch any live football over the weekend. I did, however, watch just about every highlight show. So the Bundesliga highlights package show that they have on Fox on FS2 for an hour. Watch that. Watch match of the day, both matches of the day, including the live one, or had DVR'd the live one that they had on Sunday. And of course, the ESPN FC show. Takeaway from everything and from everything I was doing was the mania about Zlatan. And his debut with the LA Galaxy. I said on this show previously, although I'm not sure, maybe we had a technical problem on that show. But as I've said in the past on Twitter and with privately to people, I'm really excited about Zlatan. Yes, I will watch more MLS because of Zlatan. Yes, I will watch the Galaxy every week because of Zlatan. Yes, I'm in that camp.
What an impressive debut, though. Well,
what an impressive debut. But the thing I want to say, though, is that I there have been so many people who want to poke holes in this signing, right? American soccer journalists who want to say, well, you know, MLS doesn't really need Zlatan. Come on, it's Zlatan. Okay, he's one of the top 5 to 10 players in the world over the last decade, consistently. Not a guy who had one or two good seasons. This is, as far as a number nine, the best number nine in the world over the last decade. So it's Zlatan. It's not some random DP signing. Oh, well, Steven Gerrard. Well, Gerrard was a great player, but he's not Zlatan. There's also the off-the-field Hollywood aspect. It gives you the PR aspect. Absolutely can't miss signing. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about this, in spite of the opposition, the seeming opposition of people who are quite frankly insecure about MLS and its relevance and its importance and its level, and they want to poke holes in the signing. The point I would make is that coming off of this brilliant debut, which was kind of written in the stars, right? Hollywood script. There are people now saying, well, you know, maybe if he keeps it up, he can be like a Landon Donovan. We're talking about Zlatan. All due respect to Landon Donovan, you don't mention those two names in the same sentence. Sorry.
Right. And they're different types of players anyway, though. You know what I mean? The only similarity I would say is, I mean, they both played for the same team. So, or have done in the past, you know what I mean?
Right,
as far
right.
as the Galaxy. But yeah, this was an incredible goal. And the only fear I have about Zlatan is if he gets injured and he's out for, you mean, a long, lengthy period of time. He hadn't scored a goal in the Premier League for about a year. So for him to come on in this debut, score a fantastic goal, absolutely incredible, was fantastic to see. And I was... this past weekend on Saturday, I was in St. Petersburg, Florida, at an Irish pub called McDinton's. And so for the Man United Swansea game, I watched that there. And then they had I was involved in a Sabudio tournament, so I was playing Sabudio table soccer. And we had Bayern Munich against Dortmund on a bunch of the TVs, and then LA Galaxy, LAFC on a bunch of the other TVs. And we were trying to play and watch the games at the same time, which is hard to do. I mean, everyone went crazy when the Zlatan goal went in, and also the comeback to win it 4-3 at the end. That was brilliant to see. The Bayern Dortmund game. I didn't get to watch the whole game, but Kartik, this is just horrible. I mean, when you have the two top teams in the Bundesliga, and you think, okay, this is going to be a huge game, put it on Fox. Maybe it's going to be a 4-3 encounter or something entertaining of that sort. To have it be 6-0, to me, it's just a really sad...
And it was 5-0 at halftime.
Yeah, it was over at halftime. It was just a really sad indictment of the Bundesliga. I mean, to me, it's just... I don't think... Unless you're a Bayern Munich fan, and I'm sure you're raving about this one, I mean, Dortmund is just so poor. It just... I don't think it's a good look for the Bundesliga.
No, it's not at all. And quite honestly, this is why so many people tell me they don't watch the Bundesliga, even though I will argue with them and tell them, look, it's really competitive beyond Bayern. The stadium atmospheres are the best in Europe. The production quality is getting to the level of the Premier League. You should give it a try. And FS1 and FS2 are doing a fairly good job of making it accessible. You should give it a shot. No, I don't want to. It's the Bayern League. Yeah. In fact, the stylized abbreviation BULI, some of the people I know on Twitter just changed it to BALI to indicate what they think of the league. So that's it's you have those discussions, Chris, and then a match like this happens, which is the showcase match of the season, and you're disarmed. I can't make the argument back to those people anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if but the Bundesliga could fix the Bayern Munich issue, then this would be a more appealing league to watch. I mean, I've watched more Bundesliga this season than I've ever done. I enjoy the league. I enjoy the fans, enjoy the atmosphere, the stadiums, a lot of the things that are appealing to it. And teams like RB Leipzig, which have been a joy to watch this season. But yeah, it's just a huge turnoff, unfortunately. LA Galaxy, LAFC, I mean, it was huge. This weekend, I think on Saturday, is Atlanta United against LAFC. So, and then LA Galaxy plays on Sunday against Sporting Kansas City on FS1.
Now, here's the big thing that is going to have to be discussed, and I'll just raise it here. And maybe we're going to do it in greater detail in the future. And LAFC has been a great story, and I want to give credit to Carlos Vela. He really had a nice match the other day that's been overshadowed by Zlatan. But ESPN and FS1 have loaded up on LAFC matches now in their programming schedule, the way they did Atlanta last year, the way they did Orlando and New York City FC in 2015. That's been a story. Now Zlatan is across town. They don't have enough Galaxy game matches. If you go look at the national television, there are not enough Galaxy games on the schedule.
Well, I mean, just like the Premier League, though, Major League Soccer could change some of these schedules around. It could, although they don't do it to the extent that the Premier League does it. It's possible they could make some changes, but that is interesting, though. I know LAFC is loaded up, so maybe they'll just try to play that LAFC, LA Galaxy rivalry off by showing a lot of the LAFC games on national television and go that route, hoping that LAFC does really well. There's a lot of competition between the two teams. That's interesting though, Kartik. We'll have to keep an eye out for that one. Chelsea against Spurs on Sunday. This was a good game, although I thought Arlo White was unnecessarily overhyping the Premier League. I mean, it was a really good goal by Christian Eriksen, the equalizer. But Arlo White saying it's one of the goals of the season. It was nice, yes. Was it goal of the season contender? I don't think so. No way. But with Caballero in goal for Chelsea not moving at all, it made the goal look a lot better than it was. And I think any decent goalkeeper should have saved that. What do you think, Kartik?
Yeah, I mean, it was from distance. It was Caballero reacted late. Although I have to say, in defense of him, he made a couple of really good saves in the second half to keep it at 1-1 for a while before I think the bigger issue than Caballero was Christensen being out and Cahill playing in that position for Chelsea. But yeah, I thought that there was a lot of overhyping going on in terms of shots from distance and goals on calls in general, where there's a keeper error or the defense doesn't close down space. I think we're seeing this more and more from commentators, where they'll rave about a shot from distance like Eriksen's or Oxlade-Chamberlain's against Manchester City in the Champions League. But there are the really neat, intricate 9, 10, 11 move goals that you also see that don't quite get the recognition, which, you know, it's funny because on ESPN FC every week, Paul Mariner picks out his best goals of the week. And a lot of times Mariner, because of his orientation, picks out the goal number one that has the nice passing move. The six guys touch the ball. There's a lot of passing and moving on the way to goal. And the other guys in the studio will be like, oh, well, that's not the top goal. You just had a screamer from Cavani. And why isn't that number one? So I think this is an ongoing thing with soccer commentary and co-commentary, this whole issue of these goals from distance, when in many cases it's because the keeper makes an error or the defender doesn't close down space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, Kartik, let's move on to TV streaming news. And we finally have a launch date for ESPN Plus.
Yeah, so ESPN Plus will launch around the corner, actually, as we record this show on April 12th. And there's a lot of talk this week about it. There's going to be an abundance of soccer in addition to baseball and hockey, and somehow they're having PGA Tour on there. I'm not quite sure how they do that when they don't have the rights on television to the PGA Tour. But they are, and tennis, there's going to be a lot at that $4.99 price point per month. The other thing that's interesting, Chris, is that they're going to integrate it into the what they call the reimagined ESPN app for iOS and Google Play. Well, all that means is that they're reformulating the app, but you will be able to access ESPN Plus from your Watch ESPN app. Not from the Watch ESPN app, but from the ESPN app. So that's kind of interesting. It's not going to be on its own with its own app, or you have to go to a dedicated landing site to access it. It's going to be built in, which I think is also an advertising tool, right? Because if you're going to the ESPN app for something else, they've got this in your face.
Yeah, it's a little bit confusing, though. I'll have to wait and see once it launches to see how it works, because for the average person, you know, sports fan in the United States, you've got Watch ESPN, you've got ESPN3, you've got now ESPN Plus. And I can imagine that there's going to be some confusion in the marketplace about, okay, which is which, what does this one do, what does this one not do? And the most important thing to remember for ESPN Plus is that it is standalone in terms of for cord cutters. If you want to watch out of market Major League Soccer games, you can watch these through here, but it does not include the national games on ESPN, the main flagship network. Now, you still have to have a cable or satellite subscription plan or Sling Orange to be able to see those games, and ESPN Plus is separate to that. But we'll have to wait and see, because in the press release, in the announcement about this one, it didn't mention the championship or League One or League Two. So I followed up with ESPN to find out what the deal is in terms of, okay, all right, great, it's got MLS games out of market, but what about everything else? And according to ESPN, they said that more details on our soccer programming lineup on ESPN Plus will be forthcoming. So to me, reading between the lines, that probably says that there's a good chance that maybe Serie A, maybe the FA Cup, maybe a lot of these Nations League games that are going to be coming up starting in September, a lot of these games could be available exclusively through ESPN Plus. We won't know for sure until we get the official word, but that's what it's saying to me, is that for the European soccer fans, there will be more news coming, and they're probably waiting to see what happens with a lot of these rights, what they can gobble up, and then at that time make an announcement where they can say, okay, we've got this. What do you think, Kartik?
Could be the FA Cup also. FA Cup in Serie A, which we know is being shot by IMG, the global media partner for that has those rights. So that would be interesting, because I think if Serie A ends up on ESPN Plus, there are going to be, now obviously Serie A ratings aren't great, but the people who watch that league and will pay, I sense will probably pay to watch that league if they have to. They have no other choice. They'll drop the cable tier that gets them be in and transfer that money per month to ESPN Plus. So that actually could be a winning play for ESPN as they launch this OTT service to pick up Serie A in particular.
The good thing about ESPN, if they did get Serie A, is that they already have Serie A rights internationally. So oftentimes people some of the names of the guys.
Mark Donaldson and Shaka Hislop do games.
And Stuart Robson. I can see Stuart Robson doing some games too, where they're already commentating on those games already out of Bristol, Connecticut, but they're doing it for different markets. Sometimes it's for the Caribbean, sometimes it's for Australasia, so on and so forth. So I could see them quite possibly actually be a nice easy segue for ESPN to acquire those rights and then use those announcers for the ESPN Plus.
That's how I initially got exposed to Robbie Musto, who's gone on to great things with NBC covering the Premier League, was watching Serie A matches back at the beginning of the ESPN. What was it then? Not even ESPN 3. ESPN 360. Remember that? Way back when?
Yeah.
And it was usually Musto with Derek Ray calling Serie A matches out of Bristol. And then I thought, oh, this guy's really good. This former Middlesbrough player that I'd watched and I knew who he was. But so ESPN has had experience for years doing that with Serie A. And at that time, they did have the digital rights in the U.S. market. So we saw those matches.
Yeah, the challenge with this is that it's not a cord cutter solution for ESPN Plus. You mean, if you're a cord cutter and you just want to get all the MLS games and all the championship games and all these games that you're interested in that they have rights to in the United States, this is not going to provide it with ESPN Plus. It's going to be kind of a halfway measure, very similar to Premier League Pass from NBC Sports Gold. It's going to give you exclusive access to certain games, but not everything. But it's a nice segue. I mean, ESPN probably may never have a cord-cutting solution completely, but this is kind of an in-between that's going to satisfy some people, bring in some revenue. I mean, $5 a month is pretty easy, but yeah, I don't know.
ESPN gets more money out of cable subscriptions than any other network, right? Their carriage rate is much higher than any other network. So I think Disney in general is going to be more resistant to cord cutting than anyone else. And that's why they for years have been terrified about the possibility of a la carte cable coming, because so many people, if they can opt out of a channel, will just opt out of the ESPN channels, because it would, if you had a la carte pricing, it would reduce people's cable bills more than any other potential combination of removing channels.
All right, Kartik, let's move on. So the next piece of news is that Turner Sports has released more details about its streaming service that will include the UEFA Champions League and Europa League. It's going to be called Bleacher Report Live, and it's going to launch on April 7th. It looks pretty good in terms of the way it's set up. It's going to be available on Apple and Android and the web. It's going to launch, like I said, April 7th, and then it's going to be free all the way through till about June. After June, it's going to be a paid subscription service, and it's going to have all of the Europa League games except for the final, which will be on television, and then about half of the UEFA Champions League games starting in August, and then thereafter. It looks like it's going to be an opportunity that you'll be able to subscribe to on a per-game basis, or on a monthly plan. Those details haven't been worked out. It's interesting that they're coining the service Bleacher Report Live rather than using a Turner Sports name, but Turner Sports acquired Bleacher Report Live, I think, a few years ago for, I think, $175 million. So that's part of the Turner Sports empire. It's meant to be a very digital-friendly, kind of a very kind of millennial type of service, kind of a very, I mean, hip service, but we'll have to wait and see how it works out when it launches.
Yeah, Turner has been, I think they've been of two minds on how to use the Bleacher Report brand. On CNN, on a lot of their news programs, if they have a sports segment or a sports report, it'll be, it'll be branded as quote, Bleacher Report. But at other times, they just have the flat-out report. And I haven't seen much use of the Bleacher Report moniker on other Turner programming that I've watched, including the PGA Championship and college basketball. So this is interesting that they're using Bleacher Report. They're using that brand to launch this service, or to actually brand this service as Bleacher Report rather than Turner Sports. Let's hope that doesn't cause confusion, because we know that most soccer fans in this country know that the Champions League is moving to Turner, which is TNT, True TV, and TBS. They may not associate Bleacher Report at all with the Turner brand, and it might create some brand confusion. Now, obviously, there's a couple months to get through that, but that's a concern I have.
Absolutely. All right, Kartik, let's move on to some news south of the border.
Yeah, so CONMEBOL has awarded the Copa America 2019 contract for TV rights to MP and Silva, who will then sell the rights to the tournament to TV broadcasters worldwide. The 2019 Copa will be in Brazil. Now, for the U.S. market, maybe Univision jumps in if the U.S. is in it as well. Mexico will be, we assume, will be in the tournament as an invited country, although there's been some controversy, Chris, recently about the kind of squads Mexico has sent to the Copa, these kind of B squads/youth squads, U23 teams, essentially. The U.S. did that the last time the U.S. was in a Copa in South America, which was in 2007 in Venezuela. There's also been some talk of Japan being invited because the tournament is in Brazil, and presumably they would take it maybe more seriously than Mexico or the United States. We will wait and see, but I think from the MP and Silva standpoint, it would be great for them to have Mexico and the United States in the tournament. It makes it much easier to sell the rights, particularly in this country. You have to have Mexico in the tournament to make it a valuable property in the United States. But also globally, I think that certainly enhances the tournament.
In other news, Chivas Club de Guadalajara have been dropped by Univision for summer 2019 onwards. So according to one of my sources, that Univision has decided not to renew the contract with Chivas. In Liga MX, in the United States, each of the TV rights is owned on a club-by-club basis. So Univision has to do deals with each independent club. And for whatever reason, Chivas is Univision has decided not to renew the deal with Chivas. So as of the summer of 2019, that's going to change. What we don't know is where those rights will go to, whether they'll go to Telemundo or perhaps Chivas TV, which could broadcast the games exclusively online and have people watch them that way. So it's definitely a story to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. And this could be an entry point for Telemundo back into Liga MX rights, which would be massive for them. In other news, Mike Cujo has announced a two-year partnership with the USASA, the United States Adult Soccer Association. Under the agreement, Mike Cujo and USASA will be live streaming competitions sanctioned by the USASA in 2018 and 2019, including the Adult Soccer Fest, the Amateur Cup, and the Hank Steinbrecher Cup. This is great to get adult soccer on a platform which shows a lot of soccer in general. So I think that's a big coup for USASA, and I hope it goes well.
In our last piece of news in this section, it's a new study has revealed that the number of cord cutters in the United States has tripled in the last 5 years to 14.1 million households. That represents 11% of U.S. households. 70% of U.S. households have a over-the-top service as well as cable. So that could be, for example, Netflix and cable, or you mean cable and Fubo, or for example. So it's definitely increasing, and some worrying signs for the traditional cable satellite providers. But then at the same time, we've seen DirecTV, we've seen ESPN, a lot of these players, Comcast too, a lot of these companies developing their own streaming services and technology. So they're trying to change with the times. But interesting that 11% of U.S. households now are cord cutters.
Yeah, and AT&T, as you said, proactive. They are aggressive, as I can attest to, pushing DirecTV now as a platform, particularly the millennials, knowing that cord cutting is a reality. You can't avoid it.
All right, TV ratings. So we missed last week's episode because of technical difficulties. So we will review some of those numbers as well as this past weekend's numbers too. So as of last week's show, it was international break. We survived it. Some of the numbers that came out of that were very illuminating. So, for example, Mexico against Iceland on the Friday night was 2.3 million. And that was on Univision and Univision Deportes Network. Then you had on the Tuesday game, you had the Mexico against Croatia game, and that had 2 million viewers on Unimas and Univision Deportes Network. Then you had the USA games. So the USA game against Paraguay on FS1 on the Tuesday was 337,000. And then that same game that was also on Univision Deportes Network, that one had 588,000 viewers, almost double the number of viewers that FS1 had. And then you had Mexico against Croatia, which was also on FS1, and that had 195,000 viewers, which is pitiful. And especially with Fox going all in on El Tri, I think someone was, I'm not sure if they were joking or being serious, but they said that Alexi Lalas said that FS1 is the home of El Tri. Well, that home is bare bones. It looks run down. It looks like it's a disaster zone, because 195,000 viewers for a big game between Mexico and Croatia on a Tuesday is awful. Then we have some of the other numbers. So some of the club soccer numbers. Thank God club soccer's back. We had 1.4 million for Club America against Cruz Azul on Univision on the Saturday night. Tigres against Leon on Univision, 927,000 viewers. Ooh. So again, some big numbers for Liga MX, and not just Club America, not just Chivas. We've got some other clubs getting large numbers too. Then you've got the weekend games, Kartik. So I know there was a lot of curiosity and wonder about how Bayern Munich would do against Dortmund TV numbers wise, as well as Everton against Man City, which were at the same time. Well, the Everton Man City game had 686,000 viewers, and then the Bayern Dortmund game, which, do I have it here on the list? Yes, I do. 352,000 viewers. So almost double from Everton Man City. And the Everton Man City game, actually, which was on the pub I was at too, seemed to be a pretty one-sided affair. Well, so did the Bayern Dortmund game too. And that was on Big Fox versus Big NBC. So you can see the difference between where the Bundesliga is and where the Premier League is, and the gulf between those two. Then, of course, you had LA Galaxy against LAFC, part of Fox's doubleheader. And that was a positive sign, I thought. 352,000 for Bayern Dortmund. So that number increased to 565,000 for LA Galaxy against LAFC on that same channel. So that's a good sign. People are tuning in just to watch, Zlatan, obviously, but also LA Galaxy and LAFC. So impressive numbers there. Anything else, Kartik, that jumps out at you? There's some other numbers in this list.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the number that jumped out at me overall is that Univision got more viewers for the U.S. match in Cary against Paraguay than twice as many viewers as FS1 did. I mean, that's just, to me, an absolute stunner. When it comes down to it. So, or maybe not twice as much. It was 588 versus 337, but a significant gap. Paraguay is not, you can say, well, Paraguay is a South American country. They don't have many expats or fans in the United States. So I think that's a lot of English language dominant U.S. fans deciding to watch the match on Univision, something I have been doing now for a year since the Mexico match at Azteca last June. If a match is on FS1, a U.S. match, generally, I'm watching a Univision or Telemundo, or Univision for U.S. matches and Telemundo for other things.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see if that happens this summer at the World Cup, if we have a lot of viewers switching to watch games on Telemundo instead of on Fox. But obviously we'll pay close attention to that one when those numbers come out this summer, from June to July. All right, listener mailbag. Let's move on to that. The first up is from Edition by Relegation. He sent us this tweet. He says, "I watched the Dallas against Portland match a couple of Saturdays ago. Downloaded the MLS Live app to my Apple TV, and it was just like watching a game on television. I was worried I'd have comments floating across the screen or something weird like that, but was pleasantly surprised by the experience." So that's good news. And now, Edition by Relegation, but other MLS fans and other soccer fans will have to get adjusted to the change again from the MLS Live, which is going away, and moving everything to the ESPN Plus platform. So it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment, but hopefully the quality of the streams and will be just as good. John Patrick Manning tweeted us this. He says, "I watched the Ireland-England rugby match myself a couple of weeks ago. Keep in mind the unique cultural aspect of the game played on St. Patrick's Day in London, in which Ireland is world class, had clinched the Six Nations Championship and England was number two." And this goes back to the TV viewing numbers, talking about how the number for that on NBC was greater than most Major League Soccer games, and just kind of showing some of the challenges that Major League Soccer has and the Bundesliga and other leagues against rugby, which is definitely not a major sport in this country by any means. And there's far more soccer fans than rugby fans, but still interesting and good feedback there from John Patrick Manning. Coachy Ball Games posted this comment on worldsoccertalk.com. He says, The golden age of soccer on TV in the US is truly over. We'll need to pay way more in subscription fees to various providers than cable, satellite ever cost, just to approximate the access we once enjoyed. Never was a truer word spoken, I think, this Kartik. I think it's going to cost us a lot more money, especially next season. You look at ESPN Plus, you look at NBC Sports Gold, you look at Bleacher Report Live, and that's just to get your Premier League, Champions League, and Major League Soccer out of markets. There's probably going to be some other services out there too. I mean, depending on what you watch, I mean, if Grant Wall posted a question this week on Twitter, and he said, like, I'm thinking about cutting the cord, but I want to watch all my major European soccer leagues. I want to watch Copa Libertadores. I want to watch out-of-market MLS games. And so he said, like, so which streaming service is going to cater to me for all that? And I'm like, there's no one service that has that. You'd have to have three or four services that would give you that coverage. So it's a challenge. It's not easy. I mean, for Copa Libertadores, you have to have Fanatis, which has all of the games. I mean, for out of market MLS games, it's ESPN Plus. And then for international games and all the top European leagues, I said Sling Orange plus Blue, which gives you all of those. But then if you want beIN Sports Connect and some of those games that are the, you mean, everything from Liga to La Liga to Serie A, etc., you need iGoal or Fubo. So you need four or five streaming services. It's crazy. And
so if you're Grant, you're probably paying more. It's my guess.
Well, I think you're paying less. I still think, really? but once you add the internet access on, that's the key, right? Is that a lot of these streaming companies, a lot of these cable companies own the pipes, own the kind of the streaming services. So AT&T, DirecTV, I mean DirecTV Now has AT&T Fiber and AT&T, I mean, service, and then you've got say a Comcast. You mean that Comcast offers all these different things, but then you mean you can cut the cord and get rid of Comcast, but you might need them for the streaming services, so they can increase the price on the streaming services to try to keep you as a cable subscriber rather than just switching to a streaming service. Hopefully, the more competition, it depends where you live too. Hopefully, the more competition that's out there, the better quality of service and price you can get for your streaming. But to me, that's what it comes down to, is that streaming service. If you can get a good deal on that, then you can cut the cord and save money. Otherwise, you're paying about the same. Or sometimes more, depending on what you're getting. Again, it's down to each individual soccer fan what you want to watch and what the best service is for you based on that. But it isn't easy. All right, one more listener mailbag, and that's Joe from Baltimore, and he emailed us this question. He says, now that Major League Soccer is a couple of weeks into the season, I'm curious if MLS Live has seen an increase in streaming viewers year over year, given that the service is currently free. Personally, I was not a MLS Live subscriber prior to this season, but have loved watching the crew each week. He says, save the crew, and plan to become a ESPN Plus subscriber. The challenge is that we don't know what those numbers are. So MLS doesn't release the number of people that are subscribing to MLS Live. I'm sure those numbers have increased considerably with the games being available for free. So we don't know what that number is, and we won't know what that number is even with ESPN Plus too, whether it's a big drop-off or it's an increase. If there's good numbers to share and those numbers are so good, I'm sure that they'll announce them, but they haven't said anything. So we'll have to wait and see. All right, you can always reach us via email at web@worldsoccertalk.com, as well as facebook.com/worldsoccertalk. I'm sorry, facebook.com/worldsoccer, and on Twitter at worldsoccertalk, as well as, of course, worldsoccertalk.com. If you have any questions, feedback, anything like that, we'd love to read it out on air. All right, Kartik, so where can listeners find you on the internet if they want to read about your ranting and raving and interviews and articles, etc.?
Yeah, so you can find me on the internet at, on Twitter at KKFLA737. That's the easiest place to find me. You can send me a DM. My DMs are open. And then various places on the web, obviously, like worldsoccertalk.com and other locales online.
I thought Twitter was the internet.
Yeah. Well, I made that mistake before, right? When you asked me this question, that I just declared Twitter to be the internet. The president certainly, President Trump certainly thinks so.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. You can get a new episode of the World Soccer Talk podcast every Thursday. Every episode is released on SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, Audio Boom, and, of course, worldsoccertalk.com. If you like the show, share it with your friends on social media and give us a review. And Kartik, with a big weekend of soccer this weekend as well as Champions League next week, what should they do?
We're in the home stretch of the European club season, so everyone's going to enjoy their football.